2 Corinthians, see, the very first thing I say in my lesson I got wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 gives us a very interesting reading. It's one of those things that I love to turn to, that in Thessalonians has some real gems. When you go to write a card or write a farewell or hello to a Christian friend, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's a lot of comfort in one sentence. And it doesn't end there, of course. As Nestor continued to read to us, that he is deliberate and continuous about comforting us. God is very interested in comforting us. Now, when you think of comfort, what do you think of? When you think of comfort, where do you put yourself? Years ago, when I was a boy, I ran into the label of a piece of furniture that still leaves me uncomfortable. And my discomfort is because of the comfort built into this piece of furniture. Now, in fact, we now own one that's nearly identical, but doesn't have the label on it. It's made by a different company. Because the label says Lazy Boy. And I remember as a kid running into that in some advertisement, looking at, what? They have a piece of furniture called Lazy Boy? I thought lazy was something to be embarrassed about. I thought lazy was something to shove out of your life, not to induce into your life. It left me uncomfortable then, and when I became a Christian years later, it made me even more uncomfortable, and I told Carol at one point, I'm never buying one of those pieces of furniture. So we didn't. We bought some other book, some off-brand. And that was caused because my pregnant wife said, I really, really, really could use a recliner to deal with this pregnancy. And I said, yes, dear. Sure. So we have a recliner. Comfort. Cup of hot coffee and a newspaper in the quiet of the morning. Is that your comfort? A cup of tea and a good book in the evening. Is that your comfort? A deliciously baked meal in front of you. I don't know, maybe pizza and a football game. Where's your comfort? We all have an amount of comfort that we want and we desire. Some people will put the words hot springs somewhere in their description of comfort. Warm and soft, usually included in comfortable, cold and wet, sometimes aren't. 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that we have a God of all comfort who comforts us. I got 3 points to make about this. It's a classic 3-point sermons. I don't do those very much, but this is a three. I ended up with three. And number one is that we should let God do the comforting. That description, whatever you put in your mind when you thought about comfort. Now, for some of us, comfort is the end of the pain that's been stabbing us in our joints. For some of us, comfort is the repaired relationship that's so distressing and disrupting to our day and our lives. The But what Scripture says about our Heavenly Father is that He is a God of all comfort. So the first point is we need to let Him do the comforting, not us. Point one, let God do the comforting, not us. Because usually our comfort surrounds the I'm tired, I'm bored, I'm hungry, I'm lonely kind of stuff. You ever worked with a new person on a job? Whether you're working on a farm project, of bringing in a field of some produce, working on a vehicle, taking care of a military operation, construction site, cleaning a house, whatever it might be, and the person you're working with gets into it for about 20 minutes and then stops and says, I'm tired, can we rest? And you say, no, you can't rest. I haven't even started yet. Oh, on toward noon we can take a break. But no, we're not stopping. I haven't even started to get tired yet. But I'm beat. You see, our perspective on when we're tired and God's perspective on when we need rest are totally different. In fact, you go into Hebrews, he says, you're not going to get rest on this earth. I got a place of rest for you, but it's not here. So on the big scale of things, don't look for rest. You get some sleep every night. Enjoy it. Get a good full 8 hours. Dive into it. Embrace it. But I'm finished now. We'll get into the electric light some other time. Messed us all up. It's really nice to go to bed when the day is over and to wake up when the day starts. Electric lights have really changed our perspective on things. Our God is a God of all comfort, and He should be giving the comfort because we don't know when we need it. Just like a child helping you weed the garden, they want to quit after they've gone through the first 6 weeds they pulled out. Just like a new guy a new farmhand, he's worn out after a couple of hours in the morning. I'm tired. Or my more favorite, I'm bored. I'm bored. I need something to bring me some comfort, some interest. I need something to get engaged in. I'll go ahead and be bored. Forget movie screens in the back seats of cars. I just saw an ad. You're probably way ahead of me. I was at somebody's house we were staying at this past couple of weeks. I saw an ad for a car that's got 2 of them. Show different movies. They're right up there behind the driver in the passenger seat. And they show 2 little children, 1 little boy and 1 little girl. And he's watching his and she's watching hers. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. We have to keep our children so entertained. We can't allow them 10 minutes of boredom. Or better yet, hours and hours and hours of boredom. I hope your parents took you on long car trips with nothing to listen to. And like me, you got car sick when you tried to read. I couldn't read anything in the car without, you know. And so I'd look out the window and watch Steve's not here. Phone lines or power lines if you talk to Steve. And the phone lines go, da, 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 da. And you just watch them go by the window. There's another one. There's another one. Hours on end. There's a bird sitting on one of them. You get excited. You see, our concept of what we want in comfort and what's good for us are totally different usually. I'm not saying you don't ever get something entertaining for your children on long trips. But there's a value to letting your mind rest and get into deeper thinking. We don't need to be giving ourselves lots of entertainment, lots of excitement. Calm it down. Go on, be bored. Let God bring the things you need into your life. We give ourselves food whenever we want it. We give ourselves rest whenever we want it. We give ourselves excitement whenever we want it. And when we get lonely, we incorrectly go out and find somebody who will settle that loneliness, especially outside of marriage, and especially intimately. Let God be the one to bring you the comfort in your life that you need. In our marriages, we are supposed to be sexually active. And outside of marriage, you're not supposed to be sexually active at all. And yet in one life after another, I want comfort. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to say they want to be with me. And we cross that line of intimacy that's not supposed to be crossed. When we settle in our mind that it's God who knows what we need and when we need it, let Him bring the comfort into your life. Let Him do it. Let Him bless you. Let Him watch after you. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, of course, has one of those real inspirational verses in the end of it. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28, Isaiah 40, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. That's you and us, you and I. Though youths grow weary and tired, didn't we just say that? Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary, not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I used to think, especially early in my Christian walk, that the word wait there meant to serve, to wait on somebody. Those who wait on the Lord. In other words, those who attend to God's business, those who serve God will be blessed like this. But that's not the word. The word means those who wait. Those who linger, those who pause and let God answer their situation, those are the ones that will gain new strength. Those are the ones whose lives will be like eagles' lives, up high, on the wind, blessed, strong, strengthened, encouraged. Wait on God's comfort and blessing. Don't go running after your own. Because invariably, we will mess it up. And oh, by the way, since you're in Isaiah 40, look at the first verse. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says the Lord, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity has been removed, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The whole point of the chapter is for comfort. Let God be the one who establishes the timing of our comfort. Don't look to bless your own life. Look to let God bless your life because He really knows how to do it. Number two, comfort comes out of affliction. Affliction is not driving all the way from Anchorage to the valley. Oh, I'm tired. Traffic was so hard today. Affliction is not weeding the garden. I know, it's terrible. It's terrible. Affliction is not weeding the garden. Affliction is a struggle against the evil that tends to pull down on people's lives. It's a struggle for the love and the relationships of those in the church. It's the building of things that are important and valuable and precious. It's doing God's work in this life. When Paul talked about struggle, notice that he who comforts us in all our affliction, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 now, he who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also are you sharers in our comfort. For we do not want, verse 8 now, 2 Corinthians 1, for we do not want you unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we set our hope, he will yet deliver us. Quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. Paul talks about his affliction and his trouble as being momentary and light. Had any trouble today? Well, a little bit, you know. Couldn't find my shoes. They were in the basement for whatever reason. My dress shoes were in the basement. Had any trouble today? Yeah, I couldn't find my shoes. And breakfast was a peeled banana. I didn't have nobody in the house. Carol's still in Ohio with the boys. Isn't that awful? No hot coffee, peeled banana for breakfast, and I couldn't find my shoes. That sounds like trouble. Let me tell you what Paul describes trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, now in verse 4. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity. Don't think your struggle against lust and purity of your life is yours alone. It's the same thing Paul and the apostles and those with him had to deal with. Keep your mind and your body pure. Verse 6, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, glory by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing. Continue, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. Start in 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if I'm insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers and dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Paul described his life as having light and momentary trouble. Light and temporary, momentary, just for a little while. Oh, they stopped beating me after a while. I got out of prison after I was in there for months. I was under the threat of death, and yeah, I had pretty rough treatment, but that's not over me anymore. I thought I was going to drown, but I actually didn't. Light and momentary troubles. It's out of serious trouble that we receive comfort. I sat on the edge of my bed with my wife, and the sobs were uncontrollable after we lost our baby. We wept and wept and wept and held each other and wept when we lost our little one. That was in Fairbanks. And as we held each other, we thought, well, and said it, well, we at least understand better now and can comfort someone else who's in this position. When you've faced cancer with the confidence of Christ, when you've lost loved ones under the hand of God, when you've been through bankruptcy or face death or whatever it is in your life, and God has blessed you through and beyond and over that. There's comfort. And that brings me to number three. Number one is, let God comfort you. We're not very good at comforting ourselves. Let Him be our comforter. Number two, God's comfort comes out of trouble, out of afflictions. And number three, it's ours so that we can comfort others. Your comfort is so you can personally be a blessing and a comfort to someone else. Take what God has given you in that pain, in that struggle, and bring it to someone else. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. We have a God of all comfort who knows just what we need, who knows the strength, who knows the situation, who knows the anguish, and will bring us through it. And the reason He brings us through it is not just for our good, but it's so that we can be a strength and a comfort and a light and an encouragement to the next person. Why didn't He take all the trouble away? Why didn't He just rid our lives of disease and death? I think that was the point, wasn't it? We brought in disease and death with sin. Didn't we do that? Yeah, I think we did that, starting back in the garden. He wished we could have an earth like that. We're the ones who shot ourselves in the foot. We're the ones who are limping around because we shot ourselves in the foot. Don't blame God for death and disease. We bring that on ourselves. And He gives us light and life and comfort so that we can be a comfort to those. Just before what I read in 2 Corinthians 4 about we do not lose heart, 2 Corinthians 4, now verse 15. All things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people can cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. All that trouble, that's for your sake. So as out of the trouble, we can be blessed, God gets glorified. If we're all wealthy and healthy, and all our houses are filled with Lazy Boy furnitures and widescreen TVs, we'd be a mess, wouldn't we? You had more money than you could spend. No struggles, no pain. All our relationships are fixed. We need to understand what a blessing is. I love Lauren's definition of blessing. Don't lose it. Don't forget what Lauren told us a blessing was. We think a blessing is anything good, anything that I define in the category of good, you know, like a nice meal, a car that runs, all that sort of stuff. Lauren redefined my definition of blessing. A blessing is anything that brings you closer to God. So hunger is a blessing. Real, deep, serious hunger is a blessing. There's so many stories about comfort to be told here. Serious hunger is a blessing if it brings you closer to God. A car that breaks down on the side of the road is a blessing when it brings you closer to your Heavenly Father. So Aspen, you're welcome. She was borrowing our car last week. Broke down on her. So what do we do? How do we get engaged and connected to this comfort? Where do we find God's comfort? Well, it's in lives that are filled with three things. With His Word, with His work, and with His church. You fill your life with God's Word, God's work, or works, or the good works He has for you to do, and life with His body, all three of those in Christ, then you will find and be blessed day after day after day with His comfort. It may not meet yours. What will eventually happen is your definition of comfort will align with Him. So you get yourself busy and keep yourself busy in His Word, in His work, and in His body. And we will engage ourselves and understand the comfort of a God of all comfort. What a great Father. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Now, the greatest affliction isn't anything physical. It's the affliction of what we've done to ourselves through sin. It's the killing of our lives and the choking of love and purpose through the sins we engage in. And the greatest comfort, the greatest blessing is the forgiveness of those sins. That's Romans 5. Through Jesus Christ, there's comfort. Christ on the cross as forgiveness for our sins. If there's any here this morning who want to engage themselves in that comfort, in that blessing, and have your sins washed away. If your faith is ready and your understanding of obeying the word is ready, we'll baptize you this morning into Christ. If that or anything else is your need that you want to come forward and let us know about, please do so while we stand and sing. 2 Corinthians, see, the very first thing I say in my lesson I got wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 gives us a very interesting reading. It's one of those things that I love to turn to, that in Thessalonians has some real gems. When you go to write a card or write a farewell or a hello to a Christian friend, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's a lot of comfort in one sentence. And it doesn't end there, of course. As Nestor continued to read to us, that he is deliberate and continuous about comforting us. God is very interested in comforting us. Now, when you think of comfort, what do you think of? When you think of comfort, where do you put yourself? Years ago, when I was a boy, I ran into the label of a piece of furniture that still leaves me uncomfortable. And my discomfort is because of the comfort built into this piece of furniture. Now, in fact, we now own one that's nearly identical, but doesn't have the label on it. It's made by a different company. Because the label says, Lazy Boy. And I remember as a kid running into that in some advertisement, looking at, what? They have a piece of furniture called Lazy Boy? I thought lazy was something to be embarrassed about. I thought lazy was something to shove out of your life, not to induce into your life. It left me uncomfortable then, and when I became a Christian years later, it made me even more uncomfortable, and I told Carol at one point, I'm never buying one of those pieces of furniture. So we didn't. We bought some off-brand. And that was caused because my pregnant wife said, I really, really, really could use a recliner to deal with this pregnancy. And I said, yes, dear. Sure. So we have a recliner. Comfort. Cup of hot coffee and a newspaper in the quiet of the morning, is that your comfort? A cup of tea and a good book in the evening, is that your comfort? A deliciously baked meal in front of you, I don't know, maybe pizza and a football game. Where's your comfort? We all have an amount of comfort that we want and we desire. Some people will put the words hot springs somewhere in their description of comfort. Warm and soft, usually included in comfortable. Cold and wet, sometimes aren't. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that we have a God of all comfort who comforts us. I got 3 points to make about this. The classic three-point sermons. I don't do those very much, but this is a three. I ended up with three. And number one is that we should let God do the comforting. That description, whatever you put in your mind when you thought about comfort. Now, for some of us, comfort is the end of the pain that's been stabbing us in our joints. For some of us, comfort is the repaired relationship that's so distressing and disrupting to our day and our lives. But what Scripture says about our Heavenly Father is that He is a God of all comfort. So the first point is we need to let Him do the comforting, not us. Point one, let God do the comforting, not us. Because usually our comfort surrounds the I'm tired, I'm bored, I'm hungry, I'm lonely kind of stuff. You ever worked with a new person on a job? Whether you're working on a farm project of bringing in a field of some produce, working on a vehicle, taking care of a military operation, construction site, cleaning a house, whatever it might be, and the person you're working with gets into it for about 20 minutes and then stops and says, "I'm tired, can we rest?" And you say, "No, you can't rest. I haven't even started yet. Oh, on toward noon we can take a break. But no, we're not stopping. I haven't even started to get tired yet. But I'm beat." You see, our perspective on when we're tired and God's perspective on when we need rest are totally different. In fact, you go into Hebrews, he says, you're not going to get rest on this earth. I got a place of rest for you, but it's not here. So on the big scale of things, don't look for rest. You get some sleep every night. Enjoy it. Get a good full 8 hours. Dive into it. Embrace it. But I'm finished now. We'll get into the electric light some other time. Messed us all up. It's really nice to go to bed when the day is over and to wake up when the day starts. Electric lights have really changed our perspective on things. Our God is a God of all comfort, and He should be giving the comfort because we don't know when we need it. Just like a child helping you weed the garden, they want to quit after they've gone through the first six weeds they pulled out. Just like a new guy on a new farmhand, he's worn out after a couple of hours in the morning. I'm tired. Or my more favorite, I'm bored. I'm bored. I need something to bring me some comfort, some interest. I need something to get engaged in. I'll go ahead and be bored. Forget movie screens in the back seats of cars. I just saw an ad. You're probably way ahead of me. I was at somebody's house we were staying at this past couple of weeks. I saw an ad for a car that's got two of them. Show different movies. They're right up there behind the driver in the passenger seat. And they show two little children, one little boy and one little girl. And he's watching his and she's watching hers. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. We have to keep our children so entertained. We can't allow them 10 minutes of boredom. Or better yet, hours and hours and hours of boredom. I hope your parents took you on long car trips with nothing to listen to. And like me, you got car sick when you tried to read. I couldn't read anything in the car without, you know. And so I'd look out the window and watch Steve's not here. Phone lines or power lines if you talk to Steve. And the phone lines go, duh, 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 duh. And you just watch them go by the window. There's another one. Hours on end. There's a bird sitting on one of them. You get excited. You see, our concept of what we want in comfort and what's good for us are totally different usually. I'm not saying you don't ever get something entertaining for your children on long trips. But there's a value to letting your mind rest and get into deeper thinking. We don't need to be giving ourselves lots of entertainment, lots of excitement. Calm it down. Go on, be bored. Let God bring the things you need into your life. We give ourselves food whenever we want it. We give ourselves rest whenever we want it. We give ourselves excitement whenever we want it. And when we get lonely, we incorrectly go out and find somebody who'll settle that loneliness, especially outside of marriage, and especially intimately. Let God be the one to bring you the comfort in your life that you need. In our marriages, we are supposed to be sexually active. And outside of marriage, you're not supposed to be sexually active at all. And yet in one life after another, I want comfort. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to say they want to be with me. And we cross that line of intimacy that's not supposed to be crossed. When we settle in our mind that it's God who knows what we need and when we need it, let Him bring the comfort into your life. Let Him do it. Let Him bless you. Let Him watch after you. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, of course, has one of those real inspirational verses in the end of it. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28, Isaiah 40, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. That's you and us, you and I. Though youths grow weary and tired, didn't we just say that? Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary, not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I used to think, especially early in my Christian walk, that the word wait there meant to serve, to wait on somebody. Those who wait on the Lord. In other words, those who attend to God's business, those who serve God will be blessed like this. But that's not the word. The word means those who wait. Those who linger, those who pause and let God answer their situation, those are the ones that will gain new strength. Those are the ones whose lives will be like eagles' lives, up high, on the wind, blessed, strong, strengthened, encouraged. Wait on God's comfort and blessing. Don't go running after your own. Because invariably, we will mess it up. And oh, by the way, since you're in Isaiah 40, look at the first verse. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says the Lord, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity has been removed, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The whole point of the chapter is for comfort. Let God be the one who establishes the timing of our comfort. Don't look to bless your own life. Look to let God bless your life because He really knows how to do it. Number two, comfort comes out of affliction. Affliction is not driving all the way from Anchorage to the valley. Oh, I'm tired. Traffic was so hard today. Affliction is not weeding the garden. I know, it's terrible. It's terrible. Affliction is not weeding the garden. Affliction is a struggle against the evil that tends to pull down on people's lives. It's a struggle for the love and the relationships of those in the church. It's the building of things that are important and valuable and precious. It's doing God's work in this life. When Paul talked about struggle, notice that he who comforts us in all our affliction, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 now, he who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also are you sharers in our comfort. For we do not want, verse 8 now, 2 Corinthians 1, for we do not want you unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we set our hope, he will yet deliver us. Quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. Paul talks about his affliction and his trouble as being momentary and light. Had any trouble today? Well, a little bit, you know. Couldn't find my shoes. I couldn't. They were in the basement for whatever reason. My dress shoes were in the basement. Had any trouble today? Yeah, I couldn't find my shoes. And breakfast was a peeled banana. I didn't have nobody in the house. Carol's still in Ohio with the boys. Isn't that awful? No hot coffee, peeled banana for breakfast, and I couldn't find my shoes. That sounds like trouble. Let me tell you what Paul describes trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, now in verse 4. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity. Don't think your struggle against lust and purity of your life is yours alone. It's the same thing Paul and the apostles and those with him had to deal with. Keep your mind and your body pure. Verse 6, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, glory by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. Start in 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if I'm insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisons, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers and dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Paul described his life as having light and momentary trouble. Light and temporary, momentary, just for a little while. Oh, they stopped beating me after a while. I got out of prison after I was in there for months. I was under the threat of death, and yeah, I got pretty rough treatment, but that's not over me anymore. I thought I was going to drown, but I actually didn't. Light and momentary troubles. It's out of serious trouble that we receive comfort. I sat on the edge of my bed with my wife, and the sobs were uncontrollable after we lost our baby. We wept and wept and wept and held each other and wept when we lost our little one. That was in Fairbanks. And as we held each other, we thought, well, and said it, well, we at least understand better now and can comfort someone else who's in this position. When you've faced cancer with the confidence of Christ, when you've lost loved ones under the hand of God, when you've been through bankruptcy or face death or whatever it is in your life, and God has blessed you through and beyond and over that. Ah, there's comfort. And that brings me to number three. Number one is, let God comfort you. We're not very good at comforting ourselves. Let Him be our comforter. Number two, God's comfort comes out of trouble, out of afflictions. And number three, it's ours so that we can comfort others. Your comfort is so you can personally be a blessing and a comfort to someone else. Take what God has given you in that pain, in that struggle, and bring it to someone else. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. We have a God of all comfort who knows just what we need, who knows the strength, who knows the situation, who knows the anguish, and will bring us through it. And the reason He brings us through it is not just for our good, but it's so that we can be a strength and a comfort and a light and an encouragement to the next person. Why didn't He take all the trouble away? Why didn't He just rid our lives of disease and death? I think that was the point, wasn't it? We brought in disease and death with sin. Didn't we do that? Yeah, I think we did that, starting back in the garden. He wished we could have an earth like that. We're the ones who shot ourselves in the foot. We're the ones who are limping around because we shot ourselves in the foot. Don't blame God for death and disease. We bring that on ourselves. And He gives us light and life and comfort so that we can be a comfort to those. Just before what I read in 2 Corinthians 4 about we do not lose heart, 2 Corinthians 4, now verse 15. All things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people can cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. All that trouble, that's for your sake. So as out of the trouble, we can be blessed, God gets glorified. If we're all wealthy and healthy, and all our houses are filled with Lazy Boy furnitures and widescreen TVs, we'd be a mess, wouldn't we? You had more money than you could spend. No struggles, no pain. All our relationships are fixed. We need to understand what a blessing is. I love Lauren's definition of blessing. Don't lose it. Don't forget what Lauren told us a blessing was. We think a blessing is anything good, anything that I define in the category of good, you know, like a nice meal, a car that runs, all that sort of stuff. Lauren redefined my definition of blessing. A blessing is anything that brings you closer to God. So hunger is a blessing. Real, deep, serious hunger is a blessing. There's so many stories about comfort to be told here. Serious hunger is a blessing if it brings you closer to God. A car that breaks down on the side of the road is a blessing when it brings you closer to your Heavenly Father. So Aspen, you're welcome. She was borrowing our car last week. Broke down on her. So what do we do? How do we get engaged and connected to this comfort? Where do we find God's comfort? Well, it's in lives that are filled with three things. With His Word, with His work, and with His church. You fill your life with God's Word, God's work, or works, the good works He has for you to do, and life with His body, all three of those in Christ, then you will find and be blessed day after day after day with His comfort. It may not meet yours. What will eventually happen is your definition of comfort will align with Him. So you get yourself busy and keep yourself busy in His Word, in His work, and in His body. And we will engage ourselves and understand the comfort of a God of all comfort. What a great Father. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Now, the greatest affliction isn't anything physical. It's the affliction of what we've done to ourselves through sin. It's the killing of our lives and the choking of love and purpose through the sins we engage in. And the greatest comfort, the greatest blessing is the forgiveness of those sins. That's Romans 5. Through Jesus Christ, there's comfort. Christ on the cross is forgiveness for our sins. If there's any here this morning who want to engage themselves in that comfort, in that blessing, and have your sins washed away, if your faith is ready and your understanding of obeying the word is ready, we'll baptize you this morning into Christ. If that or anything else is your need that you want to come forward and let us know about, please do so while we stand and sing.